Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Hey there. Sorry I disappeared for a bit. The day after I recorded this excellent episode with Sherry Kurtigal, I came down with COVID. Besides being really sick for a week, I'm still fighting a lingering cough and fatigue. Plus, I got so behind on everything. Ugh. Anyway, I'm catching up on a few episodes, and I'm looking forward to recording another show with Jen Van Benschoten next week. Virtual Shamanic Reiki Level 2 is coming up soon. There will be classes on 3 consecutive Monday nights beginning November 20th, 2023. The link is in the show notes so you can get more information. And if this time doesn't work out, I'll be offering Level 1, Level 2, and Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner virtually again in early 2024. I'm not going to say much else except to welcome Sherry Kurtigal back to the podcast. Sherry is the CEO of Victim's Voice, an app she created to help victims of domestic violence safely and securely document abuse in a way that stands up in court. Sherry is also studying clinical herbalism with an emphasis on traditional Chinese medicine using Western herbs at the East-West School of Planetary Herbalism. She is an avid gardener, and she has a line of herbal products under the name Glitter Witch Gardens. She's also my dearest friend. Sherry, I am so, so excited to have you back here again.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to be back here, and I'm really excited to talk about our herb of the month.
This is a great one, and it's growing all outside of my house right now and blooming, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's actually growing everywhere right now. So if you'd like, I'll just get right into it.
Yes, please do.
Awesome. So this month's herb is called goldenrod. And so I have a little poem, as I always do with all my herbs. Oh, goldenrod, solidago, you're misunderstood. Your blossoms are pretty and your medicine's good. With dozens of species hailing from New York State, Insects are eager for nectar and pollen on their plates. You bloom in late summer as the sun begins to fade. Draw out birds, bees, and butterflies like a nature parade. Huanghua reduces swelling and reduces pain too, supporting immune responses when faced with the flu. Your aerial parts are bitter, warm, dry, and astringent too. Your flowers make fabric dyes in a brilliant yellow hue. Found all along roadsides, in fields and open space, the birds, bees, and butterflies love it more than any place. You're not what people claim that is causing cough and sneezing, ragweeds to blame for all that darn wheezing. They provide so much beauty and medicine too. So next time you see it, give goldenrod its due. So you mentioned that goldenrod is blooming all around your house. Well, actually, goldenrod is everywhere. It's one of the first signs that we're actually transitioning from late summer to early fall. And it has such a brilliant color display. It grows all throughout the United States with between 100 and 120 species globally and more than two dozen native to New York State alone. So the late bloomer hangs around for bees and pollinators until the last fall or frost sets in. So it gives all those pollinators a last chance to stock up on food before the winter sets in. So it's kind of like raiding the pantry and stocking up before you have to kind of hunker down for the winter. Now, a lot of people get goldenrod and ragweed, as I mentioned before, confused. But goldenrod are single-stemmed plants. So when you see it, you'll see a single stem coming up from the ground with large clusters of bright yellow flowers at the top. And they usually stand between 1 to 5 feet tall. They're found usually in places where it's like really crappy soil. So roadsides, open fields, open trails, and bike paths. You'll even find it in the dunes at the ocean and along the Great Lakes shores or on rocky summits. You'll find it in prairies, plains, meadows, pastures, savannas, even some stream banks. So really it is, when we say it's everywhere, it's literally everywhere. The only place that you really won't find it is in a swamp because it doesn't like super wet feet. So as beautiful as goldenrod is, it also, there's a couple of fun facts about goldenrod. One of them is it's the state flower for three states in the U.S., Alabama, Kentucky, and Nebraska. So they all hold goldenrod in very high status. There is a goldenrod called Short's goldenrod. It's one of 25 species of goldenrod Indiana, and it is one of the rarest plants on earth. And for a long time, it was actually thought to be extinct. The only known populations of this goldenrod today are in the Blue Lick Springs area of northeastern Kentucky. There's 14 populations that have been discovered, and along the Blue River in Harrison Crawford State Forest in southern Indiana, but there's only one population where that's found. So that's pretty cool, right? One of the rarest plants in the world is right here in the U.S. But one of the most interesting fun facts that I found, it just blew my mind, was, and I'm just going to read an excerpt from Wikipedia. Inventor Thomas Edison experimented with goldenrod to produce rubber, which it contains naturally. Edison created a fertilization and cultivation process to maximize the rubber content in each plant. His experiments produced a 12-foot tall plant that yielded as much as 12% rubber. The tires on the Model T given to him by his friend Henry Ford were actually made from goldenrod. So how cool is that, right? You could be driving around in a plant that's readily available outside your front and back door. So we do on my website, I have a really simple urinary support tea that anyone can make. And as long as they have some goldenrod flowers hanging around their house, or if you're going to pick goldenrod, don't pick it along the side of the road because goldenrod will have all the pollution. So try to look for like an open field or somewhere that doesn't come in contact with a lot of pollutants. And then you can make yourself a really nice, supportive tea. It also soothes your tummy and can calm down those inner rumbles and help support your urinary tract as well. So like raspberry that we talked about earlier, goldenrod understands that it may be called upon throughout the year. So it's a good idea that while it's prolific everywhere, harvest some of it and dry it. But it is a flower, so you need to be careful when you dry it. There are a couple easy ways to do it. You can simply cut some of the stalks with the flower heads on the top. You want to make sure, like in my area where I am in New Jersey, the flowers are starting to kind of die back. So you want to find a field where the flowers are just starting to open, or they're really bright yellow, really fresh looking flowers. You don't want to find the brown ones or the ones that are starting to turn brown. So simply grab the stems at the bottom after you've cut them and secure them with a rubber band or a twist tie, and then hang them upside down to dry. And it'll take a few days. Just be sure that when you tie them, don't make the mistake that I did early on, where you tie them, somewhat snugly, but then they shrink when they dry. And so stuff starts falling out all over everywhere, and you end up with a big mess. And with all the little flower petals on these plants, you're going to end up with a huge mess unless you tie it up really tight. The other way that you can dry it is in a dehydrator. So I know that I recommend using a stainless steel dehydrator because the heat from the dehydrator will leach some of the plastic into your plants. And if you're using them for medicinal purposes, you don't want that in your medicine. So if you can get a stainless steel dehydrator, I found a really nice 9-tray one for an affordable price. Set the temperature at 125 degrees Fahrenheit, lay the herbs flat, kind of cut them up into smaller pieces, lay them flat, and you're going to dry them for about 4 hours. So you want to make sure that they're crispy when you're done. And then when you're done, just cut everything, take all the flowers off to one side. I grind the leaves and the stems up in a food processor so everything's kind of the same size, and then put it in a glass container so that you can use it for tea or, whatever you might want to use it for later. So when we talk about native ecology, I said that it's all over, very prolific, but there are a few states where it is not found. And it's in kind of that northwestern pocket. So it's Washington State, Oregon State, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, and Wyoming. So those states don't have goldenrod native. And goldenrod's not generally found in those states, which is interesting. It is, as mentioned before, it's highly attractive to bumblebees and honeybees and several other bee species. And it's one of the most important late season pollinator plants. Bees are frequently collecting large amounts of goldenrod nectar prior to winter, and other bees use the pollen to provision late season nests. So they're kind of building their winter homes with goldenrod as well. So it's really important that you don't just clear it out. When you are harvesting it, remember that it is native ecology. So whenever you're foraging any plant, don't take more than 30% of the plant, and don't take more than 30% of the overall plant in that area. So if you have, a grouping of plants, try to take a quarter of it, and that's it. Leave the rest for the pollinators. They need it. I mentioned earlier the kind of comparison between ragweed and goldenrod. So you can really tell the difference between ragweed and goldenrod. I mentioned before the single stems, but goldenrod has yellow flowers. Ragweed has green yellow flowers, and they kind of blend in with the rest of the plant. So if you see them next to each other, it's very easy to tell. If they're not next to each other and you walk up and there's not really golden yellow flowers on it, they're kind of greenish, that's ragweed. Grab your tissue. You may need it. An easy way to remember is I made a little poem to go with it. It says, green is mean, yellow is mellow. So just remember that when you're looking at the difference between ragweed and goldenrod. So goldenrod is also very medicinal. It has a bitter and pungent taste to it. And the primary organs that it affects is the kidney, liver, and the bladder. Remember, we talked about that urinary tea, and kidneys and bladder are both the water elements. And so that's why those are in there with the primary organs. For Chinese medicine, it clears heat and resolves damp stagnation. It also is a tonic, so it nourishes the kidneys. And it quickens the blood and reduces swelling and can relieve pain. So if you're having a hard time peeing, it really hurts, painful, making that tea will really get things moving. From a Western herbal actions, it is anti-inflammatory, it's antiseptic, astringent, carminative, diaphoretic, so it will make you sweat, a diuretic, and it will make you pee. So just bear that in mind. If you are already taking diuretics, be careful taking goldenrod. And of course, whenever taking any kind of herbal supplements or herbal remedies, you always want to connect with your medical provider to check in with them and make sure it's okay. If you want to grow goldenrod, because it is really beautiful, you're going to need to give it some space. It grows anywhere from zone 2 to 8. So, like we said, it grows pretty much everywhere across the US, but it can spread pretty aggressively. So if you have quite a bit of land or you have a space where, it's kind of overgrown and you're thinking about growing for pollinators, this is a great plan. If you're growing a nice little vegetable garden or a very well put together herb garden, don't put goldenrod in it. It grows anywhere from 1 to 5 feet tall, but it spreads aggressively. It spreads by both seeds and underground rhizomes. So that alone should tell you how aggressively it can spread. So think about where it grows naturally, and it doesn't need to be fussed over. If the soil is too rich, then the plant is going to grow really tall and spindly and kind of leggy and probably fall over. So it actually prefers kind of that acidic to neutral range pH in the soil, and just don't mess with it. It's drought tolerant. If you've got extreme drought, yeah, give it a little water. Everybody likes water during extreme drought, but otherwise just kind of, plant it and forget about it. And of course, last but not least, I like to talk about in the materia magica of our plants, all plants are sacred, and goldenrod is particularly focused on encouragement and growth. So through goldenrod, you may discover your true self and individuality. It will empower you to stand firmly in that individuality, grow your social confidence, and not allow friends, family, or society to pressure you into being outside of your authentic self. So it's Think of this plant, the doctrine of signatures. It's standing upright, it's standing tall, and it's shining bright, and it knows who it is. And that's how goldenrod brings into you as well. It can help you develop courage and clarity and diminish your fear of judgment and rejection. It can support your improved self-esteem and acceptance of your true self and your true beliefs. Goldenrod can be used in a number of spells, including divination, money spells, prosperity magic, and love spells. And they say that if goldenrod appears all by itself growing by your front door, that money will soon follow. That doesn't count if you plant it or if you grab the plant, shake it vigorously in front of your front door. It needs to magically appear on its own. So some of the symbolism associated with goldenrod, its planet is Venus and its constellation is Leo. It's an air element. Again, think about those wispy yellow flowers. They're very airy. And it affects the root chakra and the throat chakra. So when you have that cough, you might want to consider drinking a little goldenrod tea. And the deities associated with it, there were quite a few. A lot of the deities, I guess, like to align themselves with such a bright, sunshiny herb. So on the Celtic side, we have Brigid, and I always mess up the pronunciation, Ceridwen. I'm messing that up, I know. Roman, yeah, thank
Caridwen.
you. Roman is Janus and Plutus. Greek is the goddess Hestia, and Hindu is Lakshmi. So a lot of confidence and self-assuredness and standing up bright and tall into your own self. And that is goldenrod.
That is amazing.
I'm still flabbergasted about the tires.
I was just gonna say that was like a mind-blowing, like, wait, they made rubber from goldenrod? That's wild.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is kind of a, as I have a, for those of you who can't see on the podcast, I'm holding a bundle of goldenrod and it's very bouncy. It is a very bouncy plant. I have little yellow flowers all over my desk. The cat loves it.
Well, before we started, Sherry was giving me some herbal ideas for dealing with this chronic cough that I seem to get every fall now. And yeah, I'm waiting, can't wait to try those. But I'm also really interested in all of these things that we can do with goldenrod, and I especially appreciate the tips you gave about harvesting and drying because I mess that up many times. And I have also bundled herbs and had them fall out of the bundles all over the kitchen. So I
Yes.
get that.
I have too many pets, hairy pets in my house. And so hanging herbs out in the open means that the pet hair is going to be a condiment to the herb, and nobody wants that in their medicine. So that's why when I dry my herbs, I always use a dehydrator now. I know everyone's appreciative when they're not pulling out cat hair and dog hair.
Well, I just love how we've, come to the completion of this cycle of talking about harvest with harvesting this herb that is so supportive physically and also self-esteem and courage and authenticity. I love that. So thank you so much for being here, Sherry, and bringing all that amazing knowledge and wisdom to us. And I loved your poem.
Thank you. Well, there'll be a new one again next month.
And I can't wait.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.